Praise God. Isn't the Lord good? Thank the Lord. We really appreciate this message this morning and the friends of the Lord. And Brother John's going to preach for us again next Sunday. And God is good, isn't he? Turn into the book of Acts tonight. And I won't try and keep us too long. I just want to speak a little bit about signs, wonders and miracles this evening, just for a few moments. And we're just thankful for the Lord. Praise God. I want to read Acts 2, verse 22, and then Acts 10, 38. Acts 2, 22, and then Acts 10, 38. Acts 2, 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Acts 10, verse 38. Acts 10, 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with them. Praise God. Let's bow our heads tonight, and if you need prayer tonight, just lift your hand to the Lord while every head's bowed, and we'll pray for you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, we bow before you tonight in the lovely name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your mercy and for your grace, for your goodness, amen, for your love and your truth that you've showed toward us. We thank you for the word of God, what we heard this morning, that we're not in darkness, but we are in light. For it shall be light at the evening time, and the path of glory ye shall surely find. We know, Lord, that in Genesis, the voice of God came in the cool of the evening to talk with Adam. And God, in these last days, you have visited the earth in the 20th century, and we have saw the Son of Man ministry again displayed. And we know it to be the truth, though many don't believe it, but we believe it. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that ministry we know has to continue, because all that Jesus began must be continued. Lord, meet every need this evening in the name of Jesus Christ in this house. Sanctify me, I pray. Cleanse me from every thought, word, and deed. I take the Holy Ghost to help me right now. And I thank you that you do in the name of Jesus. I pray you'll move in this meeting tonight upon men and women. Bless those that's here. Bless those that's on holidays or couldn't be here. And Lord, we just commit it all to you. You know my heart tonight. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord this evening. The supernatural power of God absolutely confirmed the ministry of the first century believers. There's no question about that. You know, it was a quality of the early church that really went out during the Dark Ages. The supernatural power, the supernatural gifts, the supernatural workings that the early church had disappeared during the Dark Ages. There was a time in church history when the tongues and prophesying and all them things almost went completely out of the church, but for perhaps a few small remnant here and there, it almost disappeared. We know that. God's miracle power did not regain its rightful place in the gospel ministry of the 20th century. But I want to go back to the late 1800 tonight and read you a little bit of a testimony of a man and how that God moved on him in Australia, and God showed him that the people dying was not God taking his lovely children home, but it was the devil. And too often Christians say it was God's will and the Lord took him. Now this is what they tried to tell this man and he believed it. But when the Holy Spirit by revelation from Acts 10:38 supernaturally by the inspiration of God come on him in a study in a congregational church in Sydney, Australia, in 1874, and the power of God hit him. He had buried over 40 from his own congregation because of a plague. And the plague was killing young people, old people. It was killing everybody. And I want to read you some of his own words tonight. Now, I know when you go online and look this man's name up, it's like William Branham. When you go online and you put in William Branham, you'll have everybody on there telling you how he went off on doctrine, how he done this and how he done that. And this man, Alexander Dowie, will be the same thing. But none of those men that writes that are able to do what their men done. Not a one of them. Always remember, never receive ridicule about someone from somebody that can't match anything what they were able to do. I wouldn't hear it. Amen. That's the truth. The devil will give you a decoy, like we heard this morning, to keep you away from the real thing. But Alexander Dowie had had enough of burying people. He had had enough of it. He knew in his heart that by reading the word of God, the early church had the power of God, had the gifts of God, and he knew God was able to do it, but he just himself wasn't able to get there until the Holy Spirit inspired him from Acts 10:38, one scripture. And upon that evening, his life changed and his ministry changed. Hallelujah. John Alexander Dowie, around 1874, Congregational Church at Newtown, a suburb of the beautiful city of Sydney, Australia. He had buried over 40 people because of the plague in a few weeks. Children and older, everybody was hit by it. Now, I know that we, most people around the world, believed the bluff of what the world called a pandemic, which was a lie. Let's be honest about it. It was a farce. And then they come out with a vaccine, and one wasn't enough. They have about six now. And if anybody was foolish enough to take the six, They'll give you a seventh one if you went for it as well. And they're a waste of time. Now, that's my honest opinion about it. I know I'm not popular for saying that, but that'll make no difference. I'm not popular anyhow. If you're an old priest or a pope head, they'll run to hear him, but they'll not run to hear the truth. That's one thing for sure. They want entertainment, not the truth. But I'm telling you, this was a real plague. This was a plague in Australia in the late 1800s, where people were dying and dropping like flies, similar to the plague in the Bible in Orange time. And the plague in the Bible in Orange time, people were dropping like flies. And the only thing that stayed the plague in the time of Aaron back in Moses' day was they ran through the people with the basin with blood in it, and they put the blood on the people, and as soon as they put the blood on the people, they were able to call the blessing down, and God stayed the plague.
Hallelujah.
And here Alexander Dowie, knowing there was something greater than he had, but he believed in it. Though he himself was not saying it or doing it, he believed in it. Now that, you don't know the hope that's given me, because I believe my own self, God, is something more than where we're at.
Amen.
I believe that. I believe God wants to bring a people to the place where they will have the spoken word. Where God and his sovereignty, when we walk with God in the place where God wants us to be, he will permit the individuals to have the spoken. I'm prophesying this evening, this is the word of the Lord.
Yes.
They will have the spoken word.
Hallelujah.
And it's not coming in one, but many people. And they will speak the word of the Lord over people, and they will be automatically healed, and miracles and signs and wonders will happen, because God said it's coming before the rapture. And if God said it's coming, it has to come.
Amen.
Now it won't be coming in the people that preach it against it, because it's like Mark 16, these signs shall follow them that believe. It will only be for the believer, not the unbeliever. You know, sin's not smoking and drinking. That's the fruit of sin. Sin is unbelief. And there's many Christians committing sin. They're full of unbelief. When people's prayed for, when things are preached, they don't believe it. That is sin before God. And they actually need to repent of it. That's sin. Smoking and drinking is the fruit of sin. But unbelief was the real sin. Here's what Alexander Dowie experienced. Then God gave him the many revelations, Acts 10:38. Here are his own actual words. Then the words of the Holy Ghost inspired, Acts 10:38, stood before me, all radiant with light, revealing Satan as the defiler, not Jesus. I want to say it again, revealing Satan as the defiler, not Jesus. The devil wants you to think that the Lord let it happen, tell you to learn your lesson, to make you more holy and humble. Oh, that's absolute rubbish. Now, you say, brother, you're getting upset tonight. See, this man here, when he got started, he was in a frenzy. And there's an old doctor in the place where he went to, and he run out because Dowie had buried 40, and he didn't want to bury another 40, not even another one. And the old doctor said, brother Dowie, do you not need to pray if it's your will, Lord? And he said, the sword of the word struck him. And he rebuked that, and he said, I know God's will in Acts 10:38. Jesus says, I've come to give you life, not more abundantly. It's the devil that's killing and stealing and destroying, not the Lord. And that's who needs to be rebuked. There's no point patting the devil and saying, good devil. You don't need to pat a devil. You need to have boldness in your breast. And you need to rebuke that devil clean and clear and get rid of him. That's a devil. Anything that's killing somebody's a devil. Anything that's pulling somebody down's a devil. Diseases and everything, that is the work of the devil. It came by sin. Satan started it all. And man fell folly till it, but Jesus made a way out.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
And we need to know who we are and who the devil is. And we need to know that God's almighty. He's not some wee fella with his knuckles wrapped sitting in the corner that can't do nothing. God's Almighty God. Amen. Jesus said, all power is given unto me, both in heaven and on earth. Jesus said, all power. Hallelujah. I'll get this bit read yet. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm excited. I tell you, boy, I tell you, God's real. Here's what he says. Revealing Satan as the defiler and Christ as the healer. My tears were wiped away. My heart was strong. I saw the way of healing, and the door thereunto was opened wide. So I said, God, help me now to preach the word to all the dying around and tell them how this Satan still defiles and Jesus still delivers. For he is just the same today. Hebrews 13:8. Then he rushed to visit a poor dying girl. The doctor, a good Christian man, was quietly walking up and down the room, sharing the mother's pain and grief. Presently, he stood at my side and said, sir, are not God's ways mysterious? Have you heard that before? This is for the will of God. Rubbish. Who likes to fiddle about but no longer. That's absolute rubbish. That's the devil wants you to believe that one. That's what Dowie realized. And now doctors in God's ways mysterious. The Lord's doing it. The Lord took him before his time. The Lord let it happen. The devil done most of it, but they blamed the Lord. But I tell you, Dowie had enough of it. Amen. Instantly the sword flashed in my hand, the Spirit's word, the word of God, God's way. I said, pointing to the scene of the conflict, how dare you, doctor? Mm-hmm. The doctor didn't like it, but he told him it. And Dowie said he was in a frenzy himself, for he was sick of the devil. Dowie was in a frenzy. Did you ever see a preacher with righteous indignation? Well, I'll tell you, most of these men of God had it. Wigglesworth had it. He punched people. But they got healed when he punched them. It wasn't a fight like we heard this morning. He punched in the devil to get out of them. And they were healed by the power of God. Amen. And look, these things are way beyond what the church today believes or sees. Imagine somebody having a preacher dead baby and he takes his boot and kicks it into the audience. What do you think of that? And somebody catches it, and the child screams, and it comes alive. Hallelujah. That's what happened in Wigglesworth meetings. Somebody said, I wouldn't believe it. I know you wouldn't, but a believer will. A believer will believe it. How dare you, doctor? Call that God's way, bringing his children home from earth to heaven. Damn, that's God's way. No, sir, that's the devil's way at work. And it is time we called on him who came to destroy the works of the devil, to lay that deadly foul destroyer and to save the child. Praise God. Now I could read you more. I've been reading on this man, Dowie. Now I know he might have done things at the end of his life. I'm not interested in them. I'll be honest with you. Not interested. Because if anybody can do what he done at the start, we'll forget about the end. What do you think of that? Amen. I'll tell you, I know a lot of preachers in this country, and they didn't finish good, but you don't hear it mentioned. People quote their wee sermons and all, and they're great fellas, because they're denominational. But you talk about a Holy Ghost man, and the first wee mistake, they'll have it up in bright lights to try to condemn it. They'll never mention the good he done. It's not right. The devil's a liar. I tell you, Dowie never lost one more person from his congregation from that moment. Not a one. Not one more of them died from that moment. Others died in Sydney, but not the ones under his care. No more of them died from that time. But he had something within him. I was thinking and praying all week for a long time. I've been praying to the Lord about this. If God has given you a desire within you to know there's something more than where you're at, then there has to be something more. Because the Bible says, they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. And the deep call to the deep. And there has to be a deep to respond. If there's a deep calling to the deep, there has to be something to respond God, there is more of God for us.
Hallelujah.
God can give us that more. And though we be few, do you realize if the supernatural power of God ever breaks loose properly one time and miracles begin to happen the way I know and believe they can happen, God could fill this hall over a week. It would be too small.
Yes.
That's the truth.
Amen.
When Jesus was here on earth, the multitudes followed him. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And the Bible says he healed every single one of them.
Yes.
Somebody said that was Jesus. Paul in the island of Melita, a snake jumped out and bit him, and he never died, and they wanted to make him a god. And Paul and them healed every one of them as well. Because they had the same revelation that we had here. The Holy Ghost. Now I'm going to show you some scriptures tonight. Acts 2:22, ye men of Israel, these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles, wonders, and signs. How is he approved of God? Well, he talked well. No. He was approved by miracles, signs, and wonders. You know the Bible says the common people heard him gladly.
Yes.
The same Bible says that never a man speak like this man. Never a man speak like this man. No man before ever said, I do miracles today and cures tomorrow, and by the finger of God I cast out devils. That's the way Jesus talked.
Amen.
Not the way he acted. Hallelujah. I cast out devils by the finger of God. Miracles today and cures tomorrow. And when John the Baptist was back in the jail and going to have his head cut off because he preached the truth, he sent and said, are you the one or do we look for another? And Jesus said, you go tell John the blind see, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. Hallelujah. And John knew, because here's the word of God, the man you see approved by God. Now what we have today is the devil done it. I'll tell you, the devil started to heal people. He's changed jobs. Amen. He's definitely changed jobs if he started healing people, because he started out making them sick. Sin came because of the devil. And sickness came because of sin. And Jesus is the cure for sin. And Jesus is the cure for sickness. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, Isaiah 53, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes, his wound, we are healed. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them. Hallelujah. That's the very prayer that Dowie prayed. That young girl was dying. Let me tell you, the young girl he went to visit after this was dying in a bed. And Alexander Dowie went in and he said, Holy Spirit, help me. And he began to pray, and he quoted to her them scriptures, and he quoted that he sent his word and healed them, and he said, you are healed in the name of Jesus Christ. And the mother said, whispering to him, is she dead? Because she's very, very quiet. And Dowie said, no, she's sleeping like a baby because the Lord's just healed her. And then all of a sudden she woke up and she said, Mama, I am starving with hunger. You need to make me something to eat. And they got her something to eat. And she fell back asleep again, slept peaceably and quietly, and woke again and had her feet, and she was totally healed. And he went to the next house, and two young men was dying in the same congregation, which were her brothers, because they were separated in different places because of the plague. And he prayed for them. God healed them as well. And every single person he prayed for were healed. And he was put in jail, brother, 100 times. You know, if a preacher's not getting in trouble, I would doubt if he's in God's will. Now write that down somewhere, because that'll really pick on you, won't it? But there's something to it. I'm telling you now, you read through this book of Acts, they got in trouble all the time. When you read of Dowie, Wigglesworth, Jack Coe, A.A.L., William Branham, all them men, they all got in trouble because God was working with them. But the wee fella, oh, he's a great wee man. He's a great wee man because, you see, he doesn't say anything against their wee Trinitarian belief. He's a great wee man because you can call the three titles over them and that will suit all the wee denominations round about. But the Bible says the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Let the chips fall where they will. Great wee man, but no good when the rapture takes place. We'll have to have what God says we need. Now, I'm not ridiculing anybody. There is good wee men about, so don't think we have a good few here. But there's good wee men about. I'm just using this as an example. Without the miraculous vindication of the good news, Christianity cannot be proven to be more than another religion. Now I'm going to quote some things tonight. When T.L. Osborne first went to India, and T.L. Osborne had the Black Bible, and they had the Black Quran, and T.L. Osborne and Daisy Osborne, his wife, come home defeated. Because they quoted from the Quran, he quoted from the Bible, and T.L. Osborne come home an absolute failure. But T.L. Osborne's own words and own testimony, he was of high esteem in a great big denomination. And when his wife suggested that he need to go to hear William Branham, he didn't want to go in case somebody would see him there. That's a bit like these meetings. There's a lot of people who won't come here in case they're seen. But they'll go other places, whether they're seen or not. But they didn't want to go to William Branham's meetings because he didn't want to lose his standing of popularity. These are his own words. But his wife said, "You're coming." Thank God for women with vision. Amen? And she brought him along. And that night he went, there was a young person in that meeting, demon possessed. And we have all these things. Who's ever heard of Tourette's? You ever heard of Tourette's? Tourette's is a big thing today. Years ago, you never heard of Tourette's. Tourette's is a devil in a person. Let me explain to you what it is. Don't worry about the doctor's version. I'm giving you the Bible version. It's a demon. And that demon manifests in people at times and they start cursing and swearing. That is an unclean devil. Now, the scientists and doctors can call it Tourette's, but it's a demon. Epilepsy as well, that makes people pass out in convulsions. That's another devil as well. A devil. And the early church cast them devils out. But the day we get them tablets. Do you realize that we're living in a society that's mentally disturbed? They pray people that are sick to stay sick. Is that the truth? It's absolutely the truth. If you have anything wrong with you today, and you can sign up and get a free car and a whole lot and hobble about and limp about the town there. There's a certain man in that town, and a friend of mine let on he's going to run him over one night. He was claiming all his benefits, and he drove on him. Because he said to me, there's nothing wrong with him. And he says, I'll run him over. He was sick of him. And he drove on him, and the boy gathered up his sticks and run to the other side of the road. Not a thing wrong with him. You see, he was getting the free car and the free benefits. And I tell you, that's the problem we're facing today when people come to be healed with the power of God. Some people don't even want healed because the life they're living, they've lost that life they're living because the devil's brainwashed them with the god of this evil age. The god of this evil age, if you're an alcoholic today, the government will pay you to get drunk every day. What do you think of that? You said, Tom, you're away with the night. That's the truth. Amen. I know people that are alcoholics. And they get their daily allowance every day to get full. That's the devil. That's how the devil works. The devil gets people in bondage and he pays them to stay in bondage. But Jesus says, I'm come that you might have life, and you might have life more abundantly. He's come to set the captives free. I'd rather not have a shilling and have Jesus. Then the brother John said about this morning, how do you know these false boys, the boys in the jet planes? That was striking what he said, because you know, one of them hypocrites, I know people that listen to him. I've asked near him, I think the first thing I'd do is slap his two ears. You say, brother, you don't do that. That's what he would need. A man that stands in a pulpit and millions of people following him and sending the money out to them. And you know the statement that man made? He said the greatest failure in all of the Bible's not the devil, but it's God. Now, as soon as a man makes a statement like that in a pulpit of any church, hear me this evening,
The deacons and the elders have a God-given right as the police of the church. That's their office. To lift them out of the pulpit and set them on the street.
And that's what you've done. That should never be tolerated in a church, a false hypocrite like that. But that's what people's running after. Hybrid crop. A Pharisee. Now I tell you, they're running after it. And you need to send in your millions. Send in your millions. We're getting it tight. We're down to the last million. And some wee woman hardly a pair of shoes in her feet. And you go away over to Africa. And I've been there and I saw people coming to church and the women had one dress. I'm telling you the truth this evening. That some of them didn't even have shoes on. I never seen nothing like it. And that pastor said at 6 in the morning we were having a prayer meeting. And I thought of our prayer meetings. Call a prayer meeting here. Nobody's interested. Not interested. They have too many activities on. They called the prayer meeting at 6 in the morning. And then women came with children on their backs. Every single one that was at that convention came. And they got down on the concrete floor on their knees. And they started praying. And I want to tell you, it was no ordinary prayer meeting. They didn't wait till Jack or Jim prayed and they could amen him. They hadn't time to hear what he was praying. They wanted to pray. Everybody prayed at the same time. And it was like a beehive. You ever hear the bees going? And they're all going. That's what it was like. And I tell you, a prophet of God said, when God's people do that, God is under an obligation to do something. And that's why God moved in a mighty way. And people were healed while the word of God was preached or getting healed and saved. Even before the altar calls were made. There's a place God wants to bring us up to. There's a realm of victory in the Spirit of God. But we have to yield ourselves to God where we can walk in the Spirit. And the Bible says the sons of God are led by the Holy Ghost. Everywhere that Jesus preached and taught, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. John 2:23, now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover and the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. You can go back to Acts 10:38, anointed of God to do signs, wonders, excuse me, and miracles. He was anointed of God. God does not send the anointing just for us to feel good. Dance around the building. You can do that. That's good. But you know, Brother John said this years ago, and maybe another brother, and it's so true. I've never forgotten it. You know, the steam engine, when the steam engine is in the station, and they fill the coal box with coal, and they have a supply on the back of coal, and there's a fella, he keeps feeding her. He keeps feeding her the coal. And when the steam is built up in the boiler, and it takes a lot of steam to get that thing moving, he doesn't just sit and blow the horn for an hour and waste the steam, but he wants to get that train in motion. He has a cargo on board, and he wants to deliver the cargo to this destination, and the steam on the train builds up to the pressure point to where it can move the train, and the train can reach its destination. And God wants us to give him the Holy Ghost and power to where we're moving, and we're able to reach the destination, the desired heaven that God wants for us. Hallelujah. Not just blowing the steam through the whistle. We want to have more than just the whistle going. We want to have someone that makes that train move. Dynamics. When the mechanics and the dynamics come together, something begins to happen. There will be a manifestation. There will be something take place. Some of them will begin to move. And you'll reach your desired destination. It'll no more just be a word. It's an rhema from God. It will manifest something. Just like God in the beginning said, let there be light. And when he spoke it, light came forth. And his word, that's the real spoken word. God wants to bring his people to that. I believe that with all of my heart. Look what Mark said after Jesus was taken up into heaven following his resurrection. Mark 16:20, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word, signs following. Hallelujah. I'm glad, as our brother John said about a brother Laurie, Leslie Hale at least was confident enough to tell Laurie, you come with me. And Laurie can tell you from his own mouth, and I know a lot of people say negative things about Leslie Hale, but I'll tell you about him what I've said before. They couldn't even lace his boots. That's the truth of it. That man seen the power of God in his lifetime. I don't care what they say about him. A lot of it's lies anyhow. But his confidence when Laurie went with him and he went out with him, signs follow. Is that the truth, brother? Absolutely the truth. I know a man, because he related to my wife when he was in a meeting when someone was raised from the dead in one of Leslie Hale's meetings. That's the power of God. That's the power of God. And people say somebody else took his place because he disobeyed. Absolute rubbish. Moses disobeyed God, but nobody took Moses' place. God still used Moses. Is that right? There's too much preaching. God will throw you to the side. And then it takes, that would mean then that God changed his mind. I tell you what God ever first said to you can happen. If you're obedient to the Lord, whatever the Lord said will take place. Amen. Abraham might have waited 25 years, but it happened. We have need to learn patience. After we have done the will of God, we might receive the promise of God. Is that the Bible? Amen. Look what the writer of the book of Hebrews says in Hebrews 2, and I'm closing in 5 minutes. Hebrews 2, verse 3 to 4. I just want to encourage you tonight. You get encouraged? Hebrews 2, verse 3 to 4. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness. Hallelujah. Both with signs and wonders and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to God's will. The Bible's clear that it was God's will to have the gifts and the wonders. And God cannot change his will because his will's been written and it can't be altered. And a will cannot be in effect until the death of the testator, the one that formed it. And the will came into effect when Jesus signed it with his own blood on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago. And he made the will effective because of the death of the testator. And that testator rose from the dead and he's still alive and still working. You have to always remember the ministry of Jesus Christ has never changed. It cannot. And his power's not changed. Hallelujah. Paul the Apostle also says God wrought special miracles through his ministry. Romans 15 verses 18 to 19. For I will not dare to speak of any of these things which Christ have not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed. Through mighty signs and wonders. Let's read it. Through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God. So that from Jerusalem and round about Lystra I have fully preached the gospel. They even took Imogen and Hyrcanus from the body of Paul and they laid them on the sick and they were healed. That's how the power of God was on them. You said, brother, where would you get that from in the Bible? All over it. And Brother Laurie preached a few weeks ago where the man was dead. Elisha was one miracle short of double what Elijah done. He was one short. But there's a few boys one day killed a man. And they threw him in the tomb on top of Elisha's bones. And he come alive. Because God's word can't fail. And that was double the miracles. Hallelujah. Even on his body, the power of God was still there. And I tell you, The Bible says that a woman with a blood issue for 18 years touched only the border of the garments of Jesus, and she straightway, which means immediately, made whole. And the blood issue dried up. And Paul continued the same ministry. I'm going to go one further. What about Peter? The Bible says the very shadow of Peter, when it passed over the people, they were healed. That's the word of God. What about when William Branham went to Durban, South Africa? Tell that book, brother. He went to Durban, South Africa, William Branham. And as he drove down past the people, people got out of wheelchairs. They threw their crutches down and they were healed by the power of God. He never touched the one of them. That's a visitation of the power of Almighty God. Something that the church today knows nothing about, but God can still do it. Then people ridicule that. And they ridicule God's man. I tell you, they're in dangerous ground because Jesus said one word spoken against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven in this world or the world to come. The devil will send you messengers to ridicule William Branham, to ridicule Jack Cole, to ridicule all these wonderful men of God. A man that comes to your house to ridicule such men of God. Jesus never sent that man. The devil did. And I don't care what church he belongs to. The devil sent him. So he's led by the prince of the power of the air. He cannot be led by the Holy Ghost. How could the Holy Ghost speak against something he done? You cannot deny your own hand. It's part of you. And God cannot deny his own body because it's part of him. And God has set in the church apostles, prophets, evangelists for the perfection of the saints, hallelujah, to be coming to unity, ready for the rapture and the coming of the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, you say, brother, you're preaching tonight. I'm not worried about who's here. If I was worried whether we had 1,000 or 100 or whatever, and I quit years ago. Jesus preached to a multitude, and the same Jesus preached to a funeral house. I tell you now, you know, so many people, they get into a million more. You hear William Branham quoting it, a million more in 44. You've heard him quoting it. All that were interested in was proselytes. I tell you, you can get proselytes, but are they really born again? Can they come to their church on their own two feet? Can they come to the prayer meeting on their own two feet? When they're away from church, can they seek God and read their Bible by themselves? Or will they need somebody to carry them back and forth? God's looking for real Christians. Real Christians are backbone, brother. That's the truth. Praise God. First century Christians fully expected that when they witnessed of Christ's resurrection and proclaimed the gospel, God would perform signs, miracles, by the power of the Holy Ghost and confirm the messages. That's what the early church expected. I'm going to have to close. The time's going. You know, God is real. God is real. God can do way above what we're expecting. I'm telling you, he can do over abundantly what we think or ask. That which is impossible with man is possible with God. God is real. You know, over the years, God has healed people in the meetings. A lot of people forget about it, but God done it. God has done it. Many times God has done it. All different types of ailments. But people forget. You see, when T.L. Osborne took the funeral service of William Branham, and you can go on it and listen to it, and it's outstanding. And T.L. Osborne said that we saw Jesus 2,000 years ago on the streets of Nazareth, but he says, through the ministry of William Branham, we saw Jesus again. And he says, why did God have to do it again? because men forget. And we quickly forget the things God does. We forget what God does. God has to do it again. I tell you, God can do it again. God can do it again. Let's stand our feet tonight. God can do it again. Praise God. I'm not going to call anybody forward this evening. But where you're standing, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you have a real need from the Lord, I want you to lift your hand up, every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to pray a prayer of faith for you tonight. That God will do something for you in this meeting this evening. If you're not saved, God bless those young men. If you're not saved, call on the name of the Lord. Lord Jesus, save me. Forgive me. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. God can do it again. He can do the miraculous. Listen to me this evening. Many years ago, a woman came to our house in Maple Park in absolute tears. For the young woman was dying on an ambulance. They gave her the wrong medication. Her heart and everything stopped. That morning, the Lord told me, don't go to work. And I sat in my room all day, praying, waiting. And he only gave me one scripture. I am the resurrection and the life. The young woman was praying for me in a full recovery. Then the Lord gave me a dream. And I saw the same young woman at a graveyard praying to her dead grandmother. And a voice clearly spoke and said, the spirit of necromancy. Then I saw another dream. She's playing cards. If you have cards in your house, and you might say we're playing innocent games with them, burn them. Burn the whole lot. Yes. Get rid of them. You don't need cards. You need a Bible, not cards. And I went and I saw that young woman and I said, tell me these things are the truth. She said, every bit of it's the truth. And I prayed for her and God delivered her. She moved to America and she's married today with children. Jesus Christ is real. Amen. Do you realize God can show everything if he wants to do it? Yes. He is still able to do it. Yes. Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Heavenly Father, you see the hands that's raised tonight in this service. Lord, I'm asking you in the name of Jesus Christ that you'll work for everyone what they need tonight. In Jesus' precious name, Lord, if I preach the truth, I pray you'll confirm your word with signs and wonders and divers miracles in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. For those the devil has robbed and stole from, Lord, the scripture says the canker worm that eateth away, that you will restore, saith the Lord. Lord, I pray you'll restore back everything and double. Like you've done for Job in the Bible, as we call for it in the name of Jesus Christ tonight. For these young men in this service, Lord, I pray you'll save them and fill them with the Holy Ghost in the mighty name of Jesus tonight. Let the power of God come in these meetings. Lord, we know it's here, but we want it even more. Oh God, bring us into that place where we'll walk with you. Oh Lord, that you'll show us, even before we get here, what you're going to do. Lord, I know you're able tonight. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Alexander Dowie has went on to be with you. Brother Branham has went on to be with you. But you're the same Lord Jesus. You are the same Lord Jesus tonight. Lord, we can take courage that you said, I am the Lord thy God, I change not. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father above, with whom there is no variableness, neither shattering nor turning. You are absolutely unchangeable. There's attributes in you for healing, for deliverance. And your Holy Spirit's here tonight. Touch the people. Lord, if someone listens into these meetings today, this morning, this evening, may the power of God come off the recording and may it come all over them and deliver them and set them free.
Hallelujah.
In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. God, if Peter could walk past and someone could happen, then surely if somebody hears the word, like in the book of Acts, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them. God, follow us, I pray, in a mighty way, in the mighty name of Jesus. Bless each one tonight. For those, Lord, that could have come and didn't come, I pray you'll move on them. Lord, do something on them. You brought the animals into the ark. Bring in those that you've ordained. Add to your church such as should be saved. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless each one as our brother Mark comes. There'll be no service this Wednesday or next Wednesday, as it's marching season. And the Lord bless them. But we'll be here on the Sunday as normal. Both Sunday servants, our brother John will be preaching in the morning, and the Lord willing, myself in the evening again. Pray for the meetings. God will have his way. And the Lord bless each one. And if you've been praying for the day, or if you've raised your hand, you expect a change. I tell you, you know, they'll tell you to do all sorts of things. They'll speak things over your life to bring you down, but don't receive any of it. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord make his countenance to raise upon you in the name of Jesus. God bless you.
Amen.
We'll sing that one, His Grace Aboundeth More. It's 323 in the redemption. His Grace Aboundeth More. Oh, what a wonderful Savior, in Jesus my Lord I have found. Though I had sinned without number, His grace unto me did abound. His grace abounded more. His grace abounded more. Though sin abounded in my heart, His grace abounded more. When a poor sinner he found me, no goodness to offer had I. Oft in his law I had broken, and merit.